Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Doing good. Just wish Mother Nature would figure out if she's going to rain or shine or rain.
Yeah,
or...
but you know what? I mean, so I know you're a baseball guy, and my son plays lacrosse, and so we're out there for games. Isn't it? This is just what we get this time of year in this season, isn't it?
Yeah, and mushrooms under your willow tree.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, yeah, we're getting some of those flirty, amazing days, though, mixed in, and so I know what you mean. We get one or two of those hot sunny days and you're like, oh, this is how it's going to be, and then a little wind and rain the following. But overall, I'm going to take it, man. It is it is spring for sure. Here we are, Easter weekend, and it is here. And in the real estate world, that translates to being very, very busy. So I got to say, in fact, even last week, McKay, I had to have you run a pre-recorded encore show because we just couldn't make it. I mean, it kept jamming up, and all week it was busier and busier. And then we had, you know, four or five relocation buyers in town looking that were getting job transfers here. And so it was all hands on deck. So it's a fantastic time and very, very busy, but glad to be in here and talking about some real estate. We always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one coming out of the Lake Tahoe area, we don't have too many that we report on there. But David Coverdale, McKay, I mean, can you name that band?
Whitesnake.
Oh, you are all over this. I knew the DJ would be. So the rocker is selling his retreat in Lake Tahoe. Hit the market for $9.85 million. But get this, he has owned this house since 1989, 30 years in that place. And really, like, they spent a lot of time there. He said it was a great place for the family to be. It was outside of the hustle and bustle of LA, but he could take an hour and a half flight and get there. And so it is a gorgeous house. I mean, I looked at the pictures and was going through it, and if you would have told me that was built in 1989, I'm thinking that there were some significant renovations done there. But it is very rock star-esque. I mean, 9,000 square feet, four bedrooms, 6.5 baths, tree-lined grounds, beautiful grounds. And then it's got your quintessential kind of movie game jam room that you would expect a rocker to have like that. And then an indoor pool, which I can only imagine the type of parties that that this guy, I mean, we're talking Whitesnake here, that this guy has had. So it'll be pretty cool to see what it ends up selling for. But obviously, a fantastic retreat there. So we like to always kind of couple that with a local real estate story. And this one was a tough one. I almost decided, gosh, are we going to talk about this? Are we not going to talk about this? But it was all over the Herald and the news the last 2 weeks. And that was that we had a significant Tri-City luxury home builder file for bankruptcy and protection. And so that was Solferino Homes. Really, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because, well, number one, when it happened and all of the news started coming out, my phone was just blowing up, with requests there. And so people asking questions, you know, what's going on? You know, what happens in these situations? Am I protected? I mean, if nothing else for us, it was a great conversation starter with some clients that were not with that builder, but were considering building. And they their first initial thought was, geez, if this can happen here, and I'm thinking about building, how do I protect myself? Mm-hmm. And then they're reading the article and they're seeing these big numbers, and there was a lot going on there. And I don't know all the details of it, and I'm surely not an expert, and I'm not close with it. I wasn't one of the people that was owed any money or anything, but it, I jotted down some very basic principles that I think the key takeaways for people when they're going is, number one, when you're going into a new build, and a lot of times people will call us and say, hey, I own some land. I'm going direct to a builder. Uh-huh. Do I need to talk to you as my agent? Do you need to help me with this contract? I think I can just knock it out. And so one of the things we'll say to people is, we're like, well, how many custom homes have you built? What's your experience level? And a lot of times we get, well, we've always bought pre-built ones. This is our first one.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, well, if that's the case, yeah, we might want to consider bringing in an agent to help you through this process. Some of the things that people don't know, and the first thing that we wrote down is, a lot of times where people get overextended in these situations is giving too big of a deposit. So let's say you're going to build a $400,000 home, mm-hmm. and you're going to get a construction loan from the bank, mm-hmm. and you're going to put 10% down. So you're going to put $40,000 down, and you're going to finance 360. You go to Home Street, you talk to Mike Denslow, and you're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You start the process and you say, hey, I've got the land. Well, what the bank is going to require is, the bank is going to set this up. The bank is going to do their due diligence. They have a predetermined list of builders that are on their approved list, and they're going to require a certain amount of information from that builder, and they're going to do a little research there. But then more importantly, what they're going to do is, they're going to say, okay, here's what's going to happen. So when we pour the foundation, and the builder thinks that we have done $25,000 worth of work in the foundation, the builder is then going to request a draw on your construction loan. Mm-hmm. Now, are we just going to blindly send him the $25,000?
No.
The bank says, hey, we've been to this rodeo before. We know what can happen in these situations. We're going to send our inspector out to take some pictures, take a look at the site, report back to us. If that foundation is indeed in place, it looks like it is complete, then we will release the $25,000. And then the builder will keep building. They'll go for another month and a half or 2 months. They'll call for another inspection. And then they will take a framing draw for the mm-hmm. framing that's been done. What happens is, let's say that you are super excited about your financial situation. Let's say now you don't need a bank involved. Mm-hmm. You've saved the $400,000 mm-hmm. for your new house. You've bought the land a couple years ago. You paid it off. Now you go to the builder and no bank is involved. No agents are involved. And you say, I'm ready to build my $400,000 house. And the builder says, fantastic. What we require normally is a 50% deposit, and we will get started on that. And so, yeah, McKay, you're laughing over there, but it's not the laugh I'm used to hearing from you. And so you write the builder a check for $200,000. And you go to start the construction. You notice that the foundation gets done, which would have been $25,000 or $30,000. The builder's like, hey, I think I'm needing another draw. And your mind starts to say, oh, well, I gave you $200,000. What's going on here? Oh, you know, well, we need to pre-order some stuff. And you're like, huh, something. Okay, great. Makes sense. You know, you've never been through this process before. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Next thing you know, maybe the builder's using those dollars to pay previous builds or bills, maybe in the worst case scenarios. And, you know, I've been through this in Tri-Cities. In the worst case scenarios, back when we had major, major building boom, like 06, 07, 08, before the build up, we weren't as bad here in the Tri-Cities, but we still had our fair share of situations. The worst case scenario is this is a builder that comes from out of town. You don't know him. He's just here thinking he's building one or two. He takes that deposit, and then you don't see that builder for 3 months. They go back to Portland, or they go back to Idaho Falls, or wherever the case may be, and they're operating now on your deposit, and you're not protected in that situation.
Ooh.
So knowing how to navigate those situations, knowing what's customary, knowing what's been done on other builds, that experience factor can absolutely save you from getting into a non-traditional major problem in these situations. And so that was kind of the number one takeaway that I wrote down there. And that was really treating your build, even if no bank is involved, treating your build as if a bank was involved, mm-hmm. and you were using the same type of procedures, the same type of safety and double checks to make sure that you were protected. This is supposed to be one of your biggest financial decisions. That you make in your life. And many times it's somebody's forever house. And what happens in these situations is it's so frustrating that a lot of animosity builds up, and then the process is ruined for those folks. So we never like to see somebody get into that situation. We were very fortunate. We were not drastically affected by the situation, but a lot of our coworkers, friends, and people in the industry and the business were. So if you have any questions about that, you're thinking about building new construction, you want to know what that process looks like, Mike Denzel at Home Street is a great resource. Our team is a great resource. We have over 30 years of new construction experience on our team. We've been through these construction builds from the ground up. We've been through these customs. We've got custom builders in the families of people that work for us. So we know what that process over hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of transactions looks like. Go to KenmoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message. We'll help make sure you're protected in those situations. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the selling season. Things are heating up out there.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. It's definitely in the midst of the spring market here. Finally, we were delayed a little bit with Snowmageddon, but people are finally getting things painted up, getting the yards cleaned up, and boy, they are calling us to get those homes on the market. We have been doing back-to-back appointments, meeting with sellers all week to get prepared to get on the market. So there is some great inventory coming up. One of the things that this time of year we always talk about and go over, and that is proper pricing and then presentation of that home on the market. It's one of the biggest things that people call us out for, to come take a look at the property. We met with two different estates this week, and we went out and met with the folks, and you know, one of them is, and one of the guys said to us is, he was looking at prices. He had already met with two agents. He thought he was going to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you know, I heard your radio show. I've heard a couple of your radio ads. I just want to get a third opinion and want you to take a realistic look at the house. And so we went out there, and it was really an eye-opening appointment for me, because we talked price, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was real close to, he's like, I've got somebody at 360 and I've got somebody at 400, you know, and he's like, I would just, you know, I would love to get 400 out of this thing. And I was, and I sat there and I said, you know, and I looked at him and I said, you know what? I would love to get the commission off of selling it for 400 also, but it is not going to happen. And so he's like, well, what are you talking about? And I said, well, we've done a ton of research before this appointment coming out. We, you know, asked you questions. We talked about it. And I said, I just have to ask you, what were the comparables at the 400 price? What were you presented as data to support 400? Well, that's one reason I called you out, he said, because all of the comparables were much newer and in better shape, and I just wasn't sure how that they compared or related to my property.
Oh.
And I said, okay, well, this is really important, because one of the things when we look at what I call proper pricing is the condition of the comparables. And I heard it probably 3 to 4 times this week in the office. And what that's really how Mike and I prepare for the show is, what are people saying and doing? And my guys came to me and they said, hey, I've got a piece of property that does not have good comparables or doesn't have any comparables. And then I start to open my mouth and my agent looks at me and says, stop. I know, Lance, you always say this to me. There's always comparables. You just don't want to look at them. And that is my saying in the office is, there's always going to be a comparable choice or a comparable sale. Mm-hmm. It's very, very odd that there's never any comparables. And generally what we find is especially with a seller or somebody emotionally tied to a property, is there is bias that is creeping into those comparables. Or maybe somebody doesn't have many listings and an agent really wants one or two more signs up to get more calls. Well, maybe I can push the price and win that listing on price, but that'll have my sign be up and I'll get more calls, you know, or whatever the case may be. But you really have to look at, how close are these comparables objectively? And sometimes what happens is, yeah, we find a property that has 2 acres and an older home on it. Well, all we can find that is comparable, a lot of times what we'll do is, so maybe we can find only 3 comparables that are the same vintage year of the older home, but they're only on 1 acre, not on 2 acres. But then we find 3 newer homes. There's just a subdivision around the corner that we're all on 2 acres, but those are the newer homes on 2 acres. Well, an emotionally tied seller will immediately gravitate towards the comps of the newer homes on 2 acres and give more weight to the acreage than the home. If we're looking objectively at that, a lot of times if we've been out with buyers, I would say somebody that's in the business and that has shown people a lot of times that more emphasis is going to go on the home. If it's a home on 1 acre versus home on 2 acres, there is definitely difference in having an extra acre, but the difference in price between 1 to 2 acres is not going to be exactly a linear equation. Meaning, you know, if you have a house that's 300 on 1 acre, 300,000 on 1 acre, and then you take that same house and put it on 2 acres, you know, you might get 325. You're not going to get 400.
Yeah.
just for that extra acre. And so it's a balance of which comparables resonate more likely with the buyers. And that's where a lot of times that we say, you know, I've always said in our business that we run 80% scientific and then 20% artistic, where we're kind of, but you've got to get that baseline of the 80% scientific correct. Because even when you go to get the bank loan, let's say Mike has approved somebody and they're bringing financing and they have to get a loan to purchase a property, I like to work as close as we possibly can to what the appraiser is going to see ahead of time, because we know that if all of the comps are telling us that the property should be priced at 300, even if we get it under contract to a buyer for 315 or 320 or 325, it still has to appraise, you know, probably 7 times out of 10, we have financing to where that property still needs to appraise, or even a very savvy cash buyer is still making it contingent upon an appraisal for a certain amount. So we like to have that prepared in advance, ahead of time, as much as possible. And in a rapidly appreciating market like we have, things have been going up very fast. Mm-hmm. So, and we still have low inventory. So the problem is somebody might be willing to pay $15,000 or $20,000 above what the comparables last month or 2 months ago are, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to get the loan for it if the appraiser brings in the value of the property less. So you're walking a fine line between mm-hmm. what's the max the seller can get, but still get the transaction financed to go through. And it takes, people always say, well, then how can prices ever go up? If that's the case, if we need 3 closed comparables, how can prices ever go up? Well, that we have a number of buyers in the market that say are getting that are putting maybe 40% down. And if a buyer's putting 40% down, then they only need a loan for a much smaller amount. If it doesn't appraise, or if the house appraises 10% or 5% low, they can still get a loan based upon putting so much down mm-hmm. that allows them to pay more than the appraised value. All the bank needs to be concerned about is that their portion for that program is protected. So if you get somebody putting a large amount down, or you get cash sales that close, or you get appraisers that factor in the market appreciation and the rate it's appreciating, you will gradually then start to get the price appreciation like we've seen. But there will be many, many transactions that run into snags or low appraisals in a rapidly appreciating market. And it's just something that we need to know ahead of time and then work through as we go through the process.
Wow.
Speaking of property, I talked about all of those appointments. We are putting some awesome properties on the market. That is one of the most exciting things about this time of year. So I've got my pick 3 here, and pick number 1, 2313 West First Avenue in Kennewick. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in a super convenient central Kennewick location. Mm-hmm. You've got a formal living room, a huge family room. It's just over 2,000 square feet. Newer appliances in the kitchen, full tile backsplash. You've got an upper level master suite with a slider to its own deck, walk-in closet, and a large bathroom with a dual sink vanity. Large laundry room, mature landscaping, and fully fenced yard. That is coming in at $235,000. So that's that sweet spot of pricing where we mm-hmm. don't get too many listings anymore in those price points. Pick number 2, this is a great investment opportunity, or maybe multi-generational living property. It's on a half acre in southeast Kennewick. You've got a 2-bedroom, 1-bath main home with 780 square feet, hardwood floors, laundry room, updated kitchen. Then you have a detached in-law suite that is a 1-bedroom, 1-bath with a laundry, kitchen, and living area. KID irrigation, lots of parking, and a 36 by 24 shop with finished office flex room space. And the price on this is $210,000. Two houses on one property, also another unique setup that we don't see in that price point very often. And then pick number 3, 98114 East 382 PRSE. This is just an absolute beautiful custom-built hilltop sanctuary, one-of-a-kind panoramic views on 20 acres with a shop, custom Masterson built, three bedroom, two bath, over 2,000 square foot home, built up off a clodfelter up there. So you have this gorgeous panoramic views of the Tri-Cities and Badger Canyon. They just went all out. Large kitchen, copper topped breakfast bar, maple cabinets, sub-zero fridge, butcher block prep island. I mean, this thing goes on and on. On 20 acres, circular driveway with a 30 by 48 insulated shop. He's leaving the car hoist in there. So you got all your toys. You can work on it. And that's priced at $560,000. So wow. There are some amazing properties coming on the market right now. If you have any questions about what's available or prepping your home to sell in this spring, early summer market coming up, go to KenmoreTeam.com and shoot us a message. Have a very, very happy Easter. Enjoy your family. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.